edition of Biz Talk Radio, Believing is Seeing. I am April Loggins.
And I'm Bob Ryan. Oh my God.
Today has just been, did you hear about the woman on the 5 freeway?
I had to come up from near the border this morning to La Jolla, 2 hours and 5 minutes.
Yeah. She's been out there since 1:45.
I heard it was 5 o'clock in the morning.
When the news cameras and everybody else got out there at 5.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
Okay. And for the guy in the black Mustang. Okay. Driving up the 805 around Plaza Boulevard that ran me off the road. You know, if you're going to wear a fishy sticker that means you're a Christian on the back of your car, you probably shouldn't infuriate other drivers.
Especially in Southern California, right?
Well,
I'm not going to mention the road rage that I have.
So. We know you have road rage. I don't have road rage. I don't really.
What happened to that old song, What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding?
I don't know.
There's a song like that?
Yeah, there's a song called What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding. I guess it goes out the window on the California highways.
I think it probably already did. Anyhow, we've at least quadrupled our audience today.
I know.
Because everybody's out on the road. So
sitting there.
Yeah, we probably have at least 20 or 30 people listening today.
We have 10 in studio.
We're way up there. We might hit like 30, 40 people today.
32. My mom and your mom.
My mom, your mom and my sister.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, okay. All right, we do have a great show. Mark Blaine is here. He's from the law offices of Mark Blaine. He is an attorney, and he works in the personal injury arena. You know, it's much different in that area of law than most people believe. That area of law has been portrayed in movies and shows and jokes. But, you know, there really is a need for somebody to stand up for the little guy. And that's a lot of what personal injury attorneys do. And we're going to talk with him in just a few minutes. After that, Kim Bond with Mental Health Systems is here.
Shaken, not stirred.
Oh, the Bond connection.
Got it. Oh, good job.
I was trying to think of how that had mental health connected to it. Shaken, not stirred. Okay. And then Chris Oberle is here, IQ Pipeline. They are a staffing firm.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll find out what's going on in the employment. Because until we have more jobs, nobody's going to turn this economy around. So Chris is going to tell us when we're going to have more jobs, I hope. Yes.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. Oh, not my glasses off. Okay. Anyhow, we do have a good show. Before we get to our guests, we want you, really want you to check out Hornblower Cruises and Events. It is the best season of the year coming up for cruising on the bay. And I think that Thanksgiving, Halloween, Christmas, all great holidays to be out on the bay. And if you are a whale watcher, it is certainly a fun time because that's coming up soon, right? Lobster dinner cruises. They have bands on the bay, cruises Friday nights, May through November. Kids cruise free in October.
Mm-hmm.
12 and under, cruise free. Champagne tasting brunch in partnership with the San Diego Bay Wine and Food Festival. And then Thanksgiving buffet dinner, November 26th. So get mom or grandma out of the kitchen. That's if they don't want to be in the kitchen. You don't want to drag them out kicking and screaming. But let's see. They have whale and dolphin adventures.
Coming up in December.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Christmas Day buffet. And New Year's Eve. And New Year's Day. And then, of course, there's the Parade of Lights dinner cruise. Parade of Lights is a lot of fun.
Which all these events, you would need to make your reservation ahead of time.
And where shall they do that?
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. It went blank.
Your brain went blank?
Yes, it did.
Let me see. Right? Yep, it's blank. Okay. Hornblower.com or 800 on the bay.
That's Okay.
Now you're not blank anymore. You're back on
again.
Yeah,
I got it.
I can tell by looking in your eyes. Okay. Let's get to our first guest. Mark Blaine is with us. Offices of Mark Blaine.
Good morning, Bob and April. Thank you for having me on the show today.
Glad you could be with us. So you're an attorney.
Yes.
I do collect attorney jokes. I know some attorneys collect attorney jokes.
Yes, I've heard a few.
You have a fair amount of them?
I've heard a few, especially in cocktail parties and whatnot.
Yeah. I'm sure once people find out you're an attorney, they love to tell you their favorite attorney joke.
Oh, yeah. I get that from time to time.
I like engineer jokes better, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Engineers are more fun.
Do you have one right now?
Yeah. How can you tell when you're talking to an outgoing engineer?
How?
He actually looks at your shoes when he's talking to you.
Okay. Very good.
Okay. What kind of law do you practice?
I specialize in personal injury law. I represent injured folk in San Diego against the negligence of others. So that does, at times, take me up against most of the major insurance companies across the United States.
It's kind of like the David and Goliath.
Yes, actually, very much like that. Especially being a solo practitioner, I have to be very choosy on the cases I take because there are costs involved and strategy because of that, because I am a solo. So that's one of the things I have to take in consideration when looking at a case to represent someone who's been injured.
I want to dispel some things. First of all, there is a rumor, and I know there's been some abuses in the past. You know that. I know that. Everybody knows there's been abuses in the past of personal injury awards. But some of these things still persist. And one of the things that I find interesting is you practice in San Diego, correct?
Yes, sir.
What court do you practice out of for the most part?
Usually I'm in state court, so I'm in downtown San Diego. I do reach out to El Cajon, Vista, and South Bay courts.
Let's say downtown San Diego. How many different judges are you in front of throughout the year?
Probably about three or four.
Now, here's my point. If you're in front of three or four judges and you bring a frivolous, stupid lawsuit to them, let's say one of them.
Right.
He or she's going to know about it. They're going to figure it out. About the second or third time you do that, what's the judge going to start telling you?
Oh, he's probably going to dismiss the lawsuit right off the bat.
And is he going to have a private talk with you and say, knock it off?
Yes, and there are ethical obligations for the attorney to not take a frivolous suit. There are checks and balances in place. And of course, you don't hear about that a whole lot in the media, but we do have a standard of care in the profession where we have to take a case, especially if it's an injury case, that does have merit.
Well, and that's my point. Remember the big McDonald's coffee cup thing where the woman got awarded, you know, some hundreds of thousands of dollars? Somebody somewhere decided that case had merit.
That's right.
And it had a reasonable claim behind it, or it wouldn't have gotten anywhere.
That's right. In fact, that was reduced on appeal, and a lot of people don't know about that case. There were emails sent back and forth from the McDonald's executives that established that they wanted a certain temperature in the coffee, because back then the coffee they were using was not the best brand. And so they did research, and they found that if they kept it up at 170 degrees Fahrenheit or hotter,
you couldn't taste it as well.
You couldn't taste it as well. It would burn the taste buds.
Yeah.
And so so this lady who pulls up to the drive-thru, she gets this cup of coffee, and it spills on her. She was wearing sweatpants, I believe, from the facts. And that adhered to her genitalia area, which caused grave damage. So the jury in that case did find meritorious cause of action. Now, of course, that decision was reduced on appeal.
Right.
And you didn't hear about that.
The award was only like one day's profits from coffee or something like that. It was some simple formula.
It was, yes.
But it was still a big number.
But we didn't hear about that in the media, did we? Right. We only heard about the big millions of dollars that this lady won against McDonald's, and it wasn't.
Now, you sound like you're from the South somewhere.
Yeah, I'm from Louisiana originally.
Louisiana?
Yes.
Yeah. Texas is where they get the bigger awards, though, from what I understand, right? Texas is still the state that...
Depending on the county, I hear that they're pretty conservative down there.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
California had tort reform a few years ago.
Right.
We put a limit on what could happen. Did that stifle a lot of people that should have been in the system and keep them out?
No, I think, you know, we're one of the last few countries in the world to allow a civil trial, a jury trial for civil matters. And that's important because if we lose that, we're going to lose a lot more. And I think that, you know, we only have three rights to vote in this country. One is to vote our public officials in office. We have a right to vote on a grand jury. And our last right to vote is on a jury trial. So having that in mind, the tort reform that we've seen, that I've seen, because I've been practicing just over 10 years, I don't think it's stifled anything in terms of what we can do for the injured victim out there and to get justice on these claims where these insurance companies are having an agenda to limit value, if you will.
And what are the things, by the way, we're talking to Mark Blaine from the Law Offices of Mark Blaine here in San Diego. That's B-L-A-N-E. Do you have a website?
Yes, sir. It's blainelaw.com. That's B as in boy, L-A-N-E-L-A-W.com.
Blainelaw.com. What are the kinds of things that you're seeing on an ongoing basis? Are car accidents still the primary focus of personal injury suits?
You know, I do see a fair amount of those. I do car accidents. I do see a lot of slip and falls. There are a lot of I've seen a lot of bad slip and falls lately, spiral fractures when people are falling on dangerous conditions. But it entails product defects when there's a product that wasn't working properly and someone gets injured because of that. So it's a whole gambit.
We're hearing more about dog bites.
We do. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
A lot of people are getting more aggressive dogs, becoming very, very popular.
Right, and the law is now saying, you know, take responsibility for your pets, right?
The owner is right. 100% responsible for what that pet does.
Right, it's called strict liability, and we don't have to prove negligence, just that the fact that the bite occurred. So it does, the law has given us clear direction on that if you own a dog, especially if it has dangerous propensities, then you're going to be liable.
Well, one of the things that most people don't understand is the difference in the required evidence and culpability between criminal law and civil law.
Right.
And personal injury falls under civil law, not criminal law.
Right.
It's not the state bringing a case.
Right.
It's
a person.
A person, a plaintiff.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the difference between the two.
Sure. Criminal law, you have the... you have to show a higher standard of care whether or not someone is culpable or guilty. In civil law, we just need 51%, a preponderance of the evidence, just a slight tilting of the scales that it is more likely than not the negligence of such person or entity caused the injury.
So 7 out of 12 jurors.
9 out of 12.
9 out of 12 jurors.
Right.
Okay. And wouldn't 7 out of 12 be more than half?
yes.
Where's my math failing me? Or is that just the rule that it is?
We just need, in the civil side, we just need 9 of the 12 jury members to side with us. In the criminal side, you need the full 12. 100,
yeah. 100% participation. Right. Over your career in this industry, what have been some of the unusual cases you've seen?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, I guess, you know, I started out with doing pharmaceutical drug litigation right out of law school. I had a Los Angeles nurse that was injured. Do you remember the once popular diet drug Fen-Phen?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I had a nurse who was injured in Los Angeles. She suffered from what doctors call a mitral valve prolapse. And that was my first case. And
supposedly from taking Fen-Phen.
From taking Fen-Phen, correct.
Okay.
Had that for 15 months. Found myself in San Francisco against one of the largest defense firms in California, right across the table from the senior partner negotiating that settlement. So that was, it was unusual in my, because my level of experience at that time was pretty much nothing. So having that experience and then dovetailing that to what I've done now, I've seen all types of different types of ways people get injured. And I find that when people are not, you know, with this economy the way it is, I see a lot more accidents, multiple accidents with my clients now, as a, you know, because we're just kind of spinning out of control a little bit. But I've seen a lot of different ways that you can get injured by certain.
I think a lot of us have had an experience similar to what you just described, where you're young and you're going in against the big guy. What was that like when you walked into the room to sit down and negotiate with the senior partner of a major firm?
Yeah, it was really interesting. I'll never forget it. The senior partner was there with his senior associate, and we talked for 30 minutes about statute of limitations. You know, we're not even talking about the injury, but it was pretty much, you know, when I look back on it, it was definitely an eye-opening experience in terms of, because I don't really remember a whole lot after that. I was
you
just
kind of blank out on those.
You kind
deals?
Of blank,
yeah,
kind of blank out.
I've done that before.
Yeah, right.
Walk out of there and wonder what happened. Did I get the deal or not? I don't know.
Right. Want to make sure we had that release signed before I left. So, but yeah, it's been an experience all the way around, and I'm proud to be able to help people in this arena. And I've always had passion for medicine and the law, so this personal injury allows me to draw on both.
What's getting harder now for you as a personal injury attorney?
You know, I think it's getting easier, actually.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. You know, I'm getting a lot better in what in how to handle a case and knowing what to do strategically, whether or not we take it to court, whether or not we go all the way and, you know, rack them up, play pool. So
your skills are improving to the point
where
it's affecting the ease or difficulty of your business.
Right, exactly. And also finding out what the insurance companies do to evaluate these claim values. I mean, they're using a computer program. There's four of them out there. Not every insurance company is doing it, but most of the major ones do, I would say over 90%. So knowing that angle of it has helped me tremendously, especially in the last 4 to 5 years, because knowing what the value drivers that these insurance companies put in this computer program allows me to effectively represent my clients' injuries in paper. So we get that fair, that justice, which is what we call the settlement, for my clients.
Okay, so, boy, this sounds a lot like optimization of your website. So what you're saying is that these insurance companies, humans don't do this necessarily. There's a software program that somebody has written where you plug in all the information about the case, and this software analyzes it with, I'm sure, some kind of fuzzy logic or some kind of process, and comes back and tells the insurance company whether they should settle it, whether they should fight it, if they should settle it, how much for. That's all automated now?
Yes, it is. And it's not just the United States. It's actually worldwide. The original computer program comes from Australia, and it was employed by one of the major companies and kind of went from there. And they do put your demographics in. They put the zip code of where the accident happened. That tracks where the lawsuit will eventually be filed, and they run a algorithm to the jury pools, what the juries are doing with those specific demographics of your client, and it comes into a formula.
You're kidding.
No.
And so jury pools in, say, San Diego are going to have a different outcome than, say, jury pools in Portland, Oregon, or Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it a lot different? Do you know if the dynamics are a lot different?
I don't know about that. I just know about how it affects here in Southern California. I do talk to some of the mavericks in the industry across the United States, and so I don't know the difference in that.
But it certainly would then behoove somebody to hire an attorney that has experience in the county in which you are placing the lawsuit.
Sure.
Or at
sure.
least the state.
Right,
that you're placing the lawsuit.
Right, and like I said, there's not just one computer program. There's four of them now, and they're used by probably about 90% of the insurance companies across the United States, England, Europe, Australia.
Wow. Mark Blaine, blainelaw.com is the website. You can get to him. Good luck with this. If there's anybody out there that needs to talk with you, you have
sure.
a consultation?
Free consultation,
okay.
Anytime.
All right. Look it up at Blaine, BLANELAW, blainelaw.com. You're
listening to Biz Talk. I'm April Loggins.
And I'm Bob Ryan. Stay with us. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Separation and divorce are easier said than done. Don't make it harder on yourself going in unprepared. Most couples going through separation make monumental mistakes on the path to divorce, and the most innocent of these mistakes can be very costly. The law offices of Daniel Martin has the experience and knowledge to help you get through this sensitive and difficult process. If you need an attorney for divorce, custody, or support, call area code 619-521-3122 or visit www.5050law.com, and we'll send you a free information packet that includes a list of the 20 most common mistakes that couples make entering the divorce process. That's 619-521-3122 or www.5050law.com now for a free information packet of the 20 most common divorce process mistakes. Don't be unprepared going into your divorce. Call the law offices of Daniel Martin today.
Out on the water today, a small company said thank you to their clients in a big way. the Hornblower way. Truth be told, a customized event on a Hornblower yacht had everything they needed to really impress their clients. The cruise began with fresh appetizers and margaritas, then a fully catered lunch served by a smiling staff, all accompanied by the sounds of a mariachi band. Where on earth did you find time to plan this? The clients asked. The president smiled, knowing full well that Hornblower took care of everything. Overtime, she said. But hey, you're worth it. Today was just like every other day on a Hornblower yacht. There was nothing typical about it. Hornblower cruises and events. Get away from it all, just for a day.
Visit Birch Aquarium at Scripps in La Jolla. It's fun, it's educational, and its ocean views, inside and out, are incredible. Perched on a hilltop overlooking renowned Scripps Institution of Oceanography, this seaside aquarium museum features a dazzling variety of marine life from the cold waters of the Pacific Northwest to the tropical South Pacific. See their newest exhibit, Secrets of the Seahorse, and discover 13 species of seahorses and their relatives, a seahorse breeding nursery, and interactive exhibits. Go on a virtual journey with Morphus, Motion Ride, touch the living tide pool animals with docents, or learn about oceanography's history and current research in the museum. For more information, visit them at www.aquarium.ucsd.edu or call 858-534-FISH. That's 858-534-FISH.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing in Seeing Radio. I am April Loggins.
And I'm Bob Ryan. We are glad you stayed with us. Of course, you got nothing else to do but sit in traffic, right?
You know what? It's probably getting better now. I mean,
It might.
Hopefully the outcome was good on that, and everybody can go on with their day now.
You mean the I-5 incident?
Yeah.
Yeah, last I heard, I-5 North was open, but South was
they
still
closed. They had
the...
They opened two lanes, and it was the two lanes that were closest to the 163.
Yeah.
So everybody can just kind of loop and get on the 163, which was still congested in the 805.
Yeah.
And
what a...
It was a mess.
And appropriately, up next, Kim Bond with Mental Health Systems is with us. I guess this would be a good segue to bring you in. Kim, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I guess we have a mental health issue on the freeway today.
Sounds like we do. I heard there's a woman who is thinking about committing suicide, so I'm sure they have the PERT team and others out there helping her.
How long have you been in mental health in the arena?
20 years.
So have you been that whole time here in San Diego?
Yes.
So do you remember back when, or was this before 20 years ago, when we didn't have mental health issues, people walking the street with schizophrenia, or was that before your time?
Do I remember a time when there was no mental illness in San Diego?
No, when we didn't have them walking the street, when there was facilities for everybody, before we shut all those down.
I wasn't here at that time, but I know the history.
I was here, and I don't remember when it happened. But I do remember hearing the news that the state or the county or whoever used to fund the emergency mental health clinics were closing down. And we went from basically no homeless living on the street, nobody walking the street pushing shopping carts, nobody walking in the street talking to themselves, to almost on every corner in downtown San Diego overnight. It was quite the shock to our San Diego system.
And unfortunately, with our current state budget that pushes so much down to the counties, I think we're going to see a lot more people on the street because mental health services are being cut in the county just because the money is not there any longer.
What defines or how do you know or determine that somebody is a candidate for mental health help in what they need?
Well, for us in San Diego County, we provide mental health services that are funded by the County of San Diego, so funded through the county. And in order to get county services, you really have to have an Access 1 or a serious mental illness. And truly be in dire need of those services.
Who defines that? First of all, what's Access One?
It's a serious mental illness, a major mental illness. It might be schizophrenia.
Paranoia.
That's a symptom of schizophrenia, okay. But it could be bipolar disorder or clinical depression. It's not
paranoia is not an end, it's a symptom?
It's one of the components of several diagnoses.
All right.
It would not necessarily be a personality disorder, although depending on the severity of the personality disorder, but you're going to have to be more and more seriously mentally ill before you will get services funded through the county.
And these are lumped generally under personality disorders then, correct?
No, the ones I talked about they're considered major mental illnesses. They're serious mental illnesses. They're not the person access. There's a whole diagnostic code, and Access II are more the personality
disorders.
Can you
just explain the whole DSM-2 thing for us, please?
Sure.
In 15 minutes.
Or less.
Yeah, or less. So basically, there's a few categories then. There's major mental illness. The would bipolar be an example of
correct.
That? Correct. And schizophrenia would be an example
correct.
Of that? And then you have personality disorders where OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, would be.
And if the personality disorder elevates to the point where it's truly impacting your life and you're unable to.
You can't function.
You can't
get out of the bathroom because you can't stop washing your hands.
Correct.
Yeah.
Then you would be a candidate.
Okay.
But many people who might be diagnosed with personality disorders are still able to go to work. They're still able to have a family. They're still able to live their lives. When it gets to the severity where you are no longer able to hold down a job or maintain housing or you need additional care, then that will bump you into services that may be funded by the County of San Diego.
And we're diagnosing more and more different kinds, like Munchausen's.
Absolutely.
Which I, you know, what, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, we never heard of before.
And don't forget about the veterans coming home.
With things that we've never seen before.
Correct.
Forms of autism that my grandson is autistic. And highly level functioning for my daughter anyway, fortunately for her. But the different things that they're diagnosing now as autism are way different than they were 20 years ago.
Absolutely.
So we have a broader definition now of mental health and mental health needs and less funding.
Absolutely. And a greater need, especially with the economy. Not only are services being cut, but people are under a lot more strain and stress. If you're losing your job, you're losing your home, it puts a lot of stress on all of our families. So you see higher incidence of mental illness and substance abuse.
So somebody that could function normally if things were going well might be on the borderline of breaking down if one of their, say, you know, legs of their stool fall out from under them, let's say.
Absolutely.
And they just tilt over and as we might say, go off the deep end or, you know, disappear.
Absolutely.
Those are difficult ones to deal with because they were functioning and now they're not. And maybe we could get them back to functioning if we had funding or help for them.
Correct. It's not just, like you said, not just the mental health aspect, it's the drug and alcohol. A lot more stress and strain on people. People who might be in recovery, these could be relapse triggers for them, or people suddenly find themselves drinking more now, and it really impairs the rest of their life. So we see a lot more need for services at a time when the funding is being cut.
I heard some statistics the other day that 10% of the American population is on some kind of opioid.
Wow.
And that's almost all prescribed. And that includes physicians. I think there was a higher incidence of people in the medical industry on opiates or opioids than in the general population.
I've heard those statistics too.
Yeah, and dentists are the highest users of, what's that stuff you get when you go in? Laughing gas? What's nitrous oxide?
Nitrous oxide?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
That, by the way, is a great drug. I mean, you can't use it all the time, but if you're going to go get your teeth pulled, that's a good 10 seconds of your life, you know, while you're waiting to go out.
That's a wonderful drug.
Yeah, it does what it's supposed to do, but it's not designed to keep you feeling that way all the time.
Right. Obviously, there's lots of medications that are great. It's just when you abuse them that you get into trouble.
Aspirin is really good, but if you take it every day, you'll tear your stomach up.
Absolutely.
You know, so what do you do at mental health systems? What is your purpose and your job there? What are you trying to do?
We serve truly the disenfranchised, people with little or no money, the homeless people, the indigent folks, people that are just getting out of prison. We have a few programs left that are in prison. So the folks that are many times people try to ignore them. But they're the people wandering around with their shopping carts, people wandering the streets.
Sleeping in the doorways.
Sleeping in the doorways. Those are our folks.
And they call the cops, and the cops come roust them up, kick them in the feet, send them down the street. They go find another doorway.
Absolutely.
Lay down in the other doorway.
San Diego has a lot to be proud of. We really do a great job in trying to work with our homeless. And we've got several programs, not just through mental health systems, but funded through the county and other agencies that really try to address a lot of those issues. And we've been pretty successful, especially with homeless alcoholic folks.
What do you do? What do we as citizens do? I mean, in the we're downtown La Jolla in the Village. We're in a gorgeous building right on Pearl. The alleyway behind us houses three or four guys that I see driving in and out pretty much every day. Not every day, but I've stopped and talked to them because they leave their litter around, and I gave them an incentive to keep the place clean.
Great.
Because I don't want my clients, you know, coming in and seeing all this litter. So they love to see me. I mean, we've made friends. But one of them is so dysfunctional, he can't even speak to me. I mean, mm-hmm. What is there anything we can do as citizens? I mean, does he want to be there? I ask him if he wants help or if he wants to be there. He can't even talk to me. What do we do?
Well, if there's someone that you're concerned about, we do have like the PERT team, or we have
What's PERT?
Psychiatric Emergency Response Team.
Okay.
Probably called for the woman down in off of pipe. There's also the homeless outreach team that can come and evaluate things. And mental health systems runs a program called the Serial Inebriate Program. And you can call them and they will help evaluate people who have drug and alcohol problems that are homeless. And so you have several resources here in San Diego that will help you or guide you. And they may know the person. They may come out and do an evaluation. So you do have some resources.
I know the
here.
Last couple of nights have been pretty cold.
Absolutely.
You know, and I've been driving up, and the one guy's, April, do you see them when you go in? The two guys down
there?
Yeah,
I actually see them.
The one guy's, I mean, he must have had four or five layers of cardboard on him to try to keep himself warm. And what, is there a centralized number that people can call? Or do you just call the cops and let them deal with it?
Well, you can always call 211 is an information line, and feel free to call mental health systems.
What,
at our phone.
Did you say 411 or
211?
211.
211.
Mm-hmm.
That's
an information and referral line.
That's for the county.
That's for the county.
Okay, the county information referral line. Okay.
Right, you can call that. And feel free to call Mental Health Systems, 858-573-2600, and we will be glad to either direct you or get some folks out there for you and help you with that problem.
Because I'm sure that while I'm talking, everybody that's listening says, yes, I see the same thing, somewhere along the way. We're at the point, though, where we're having to turn people away.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what you're going to see, longer waiting lines, even to get in our mental health clinics, to get into any kind of treatment services, we're going to see waiting lists.
What about women with children, single moms, which is the hardest to take of all? Because the kids didn't do a daggone thing to be where they are.
Absolutely. And women with children are the highest priority of any service provider here in San Diego County, or in the state, actually. And they will get preferential treatment and space above others.
So it's not likely that a woman with a child is going to spend the night on the street if she doesn't want to. Have we solved that problem?
Not likely, but I'm not saying it doesn't happen.
Really? As a human being, I mean, obviously you got into this business because you want to help people. How does it affect you day to day? I mean, this is not an easy job. This is not for the faint of heart.
No, but when it's your passion, you get energized. This is the population I want to serve, and the people who work at my agency, we feel proud and honored to serve these folks every day. And when we know that we're out there really making a difference and changing people's lives and improving our communities as well, it's what gets us up in the morning. So we'll fight one more day.
Kim Bond, MFT, is that marriage and family therapist?
Correct.
Okay. What are your successes that you rejoice over? If you say, I'm going to fight one more day, what is a battle you can win that you can go home that night and feel like we did something good today?
Well, I mentioned our serial inebriate program, for example. When I go to a graduation and I see a man who has literally lived on the streets of San Diego for 15 years, and now he's been clean and sober for 12 months, he's got a job, he's living in an apartment, and he's been reunited with his family. Doesn't get much better than that. In fact, when I went to one of the graduations, we had 10 graduates. 9 of them were there. The 10th one couldn't be there because he was working that night. and all of them had been clean and sober. And these aren't easy cases. They've been on the streets for 10, 15, 20 years, and now here they are with their own place.
Do you have an in-house program? In-house meaning do your patients come and stay at a facility with you?
We have several. We have our residential facilities are for women and children.
Okay.
And then we partner with a lot of the other treatment providers, residential treatment or sober living facilities here in San Diego County.
Okay, you're funded by the county. There's lots of others like Father Joe's Village and countless others, the Alpha Program and so forth, that are all needing help. And
absolutely.
What does the county need right now? We're coming into the biggest giving time of the year. People are certainly going to be in a giving mood, and I think the more we give, the better off we are, right?
Absolutely.
We can take the pain away of what we don't have if we give. We're running out of time quickly. Is there anything anybody can do to help?
Absolutely. When you're giving this year, please think about giving to your favorite charities that stay here locally in San Diego County. Of course, our website, mhsinc.org. Many opportunities there, but there are tons of great organizations here in San Diego that help folks right here in the county. So when you're thinking about giving to your local charities, it will truly make a difference.
MHSINC.org.
Correct.
Kim Bond, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Keep up the good work. We really need people like you out there doing this.
Thanks for having me.
Wow.
Stay with us. You're listening to Biz Talk. I'm April Loggins.
And I'm Bob Ryan, and we're so glad you're with us today. Up next, we're going to talk with Chris Oberle, IQ Pipeline Staffing. We're going to talk jobs. Great segue.
Yeah.
Today, a hornblower yacht embarked on more than a cruise. It began a journey for a couple that would last a lifetime. For their wedding, they wanted something unique, something no one would ever forget. So they decided to have their wedding out on the water. They knew that Hornblower's planners would take care of everything, from the invitations and the flowers, to the catering and the music. And when the time came for the bride and groom to exchange their vows, they did so in the fresh, open air, among some of the world's most breathtaking views. It only goes to show, on Hornblower you can have a totally unique wedding and still have nothing to worry about. Today was just like every other day on a Hornblower yacht. There was nothing typical about it. Hornblower Cruises and Events. Get away from it all, just for a day.
Separation and divorce are easier said than done. Don't make it harder on yourself going in unprepared. Most couples going through separation make monumental mistakes on the path to divorce, and the most innocent of these mistakes can be very costly. The law offices of Daniel Martin has the experience and knowledge to help you get through this sensitive and difficult process. If you need an attorney for divorce, custody, or support, call area code 619-521-3122 or visit www.5050law.com and we'll send you a free information packet that includes a list of the 20 most common mistakes that couples make entering the divorce process. That's 619-521-3122 or www.5050law.com now for a free information packet of the 20 most common divorce process mistakes. Don't be unprepared going into your divorce. Call the law offices of Daniel Martin today.
Without the entrepreneur, dreams would die in our heads. Without the entrepreneur, good enough wouldn't sound bad. Without the entrepreneur, this radio station quite possibly wouldn't exist. At City National Bank, we believe in the power of the entrepreneur. Supporting California's entrepreneurs, their businesses, and their families with complete financial solutions has been our number one priority for over 50 years. Solutions like City National's award-winning business products and services that help improve cash flow and take measures to protect entrepreneurs from fraud. And introducing City National e-Deposit. Now businesses not located near one of our many banking offices can submit electronic deposits simply, securely, and instantly. To learn more about how California's premier private and business bank can meet all of your financial needs, talk to a City National banker or visit us at cnb.com. City National Bank, the way up. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to This Talk, Believing and Seeing Radio. I'm April Loggins.
And I'm Bob Ryan. Isn't it weird, April, that most of the people we're talking to right now either know somebody that has an addiction or mental health problem, or they have an addiction or mental health problem. Mm-hmm. And if 10% of the population is using opiates, 10% of the population are using opiates, is using opiates. I think you can do it either way. Anyhow, that means that there's a lot of the rest of the population doing other drugs or combining them. We are a drug-based society, no matter how you look at it. We got to solve it somehow. Anyhow, mhsinc.com. No, .org. mhsinc.org. Check them out. We're going to move on now. We're going to talk jobs with Chris Oberle, IQ Pipeline. Chris, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Glad you could be with us today. Tell us about IQ Pipeline.
IQ Pipeline is a staffing and recruiting firm. We serve, for the most part, biotech and high-tech companies in San Diego.
And what, for those that are not familiar, although I think almost everybody is, can you describe what a staffing firm does, how it works?
That's a good question. Staffing firms generally work with companies. When we say customer, we mean a company. And we fill positions that either they can't fill or don't want to fill on their own.
I know it's a stupid question, but why would a company not want to fill the position on their own? If they need a scientist for a lab position, why wouldn't they just run an ad in the paper to pick up the scientist?
There's a lot of different reasons. Sometimes it's because the assignment will last a limited amount of time. They might be assigned to a specific project that's only going to last, for example, 3 months or so.
I get it. So they get 50 responses from the ad, and they have to tell all 50 it's a two-month project and maybe only two are interested and they're not qualified, and they waste a lot of time and energy when you can go right to your database and find that person because you've been working with it for years.
Definitely, that's one case. Another is because we can provide the labor at lower costs. Everyone has to deal with taxes and insurance.
Right.
Above that, there are costs that we can manage, such as healthcare.
So you have economies of scale.
That's true.
You have a larger group of staffing people that work for IQ Pipeline, you get the economies of scale of the health insurance and the 401k and or whatever other options you offer them.
That's another case. And then the third is probably when they place an ad, mm-hmm. they get such a large response that they don't want to go through all those resumes. For example, April was mentioning your recent ad in Craigslist for an intern. We placed an ad actually for our own staff recently on Craigslist, and within a couple of hours, I had received about 75 resumes.
We got a lot of response. An amazing group of interns.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we're going to do a show with them because they all are really interesting people that are looking to find out more about broadcast. So the amount of responses are pretty tremendous. You deal in high Q.
IQ.
Isn't haiku something? Haiku is a form of poetry, right?
That's right.
Yeah. What is it?
5 syllables and 7 syllables and 5 syllables. That's
it. I write a lot of that. Yeah. Haiku. Of course, April never appreciates it when I text it to her at 2 in the morning either, does she? No, come on. Anyhow, tell us about what your company or your feeling is about where we are in the job cycle right now.
I feel the same way that all the experts feel. I mean, it's definitely a tough market. There's more employees available than ever. Obviously, unemployment is very challenging. Bottom line is employers just aren't hiring, and so that results in it's mm-hmm. tough for everybody.
Do you have a crystal ball?
No, I don't. But I definitely think there's a lot of positives.
So what if you don't have a crystal ball? What's your best peek into the future? The best way you know how, through all the smoke and the mirrors and everything else, do we have more to go down? Do you think or up? Now we understand this is just your best guess and opinion. We're sure. You know, we're not going to take this and go out and, you know, bet money on it. But
I wouldn't. Yeah.
Just what do you think? Do we have a lot more bad news to go?
It seems that way, but I have no idea. Honestly, for us, because we are, we have to stay in the moment in order to succeed. So we're really not looking at this as a really, really bad time that we can't win in or...
You know, you sound like the perfect investor. The guy who invests for the long term and never looks at his portfolio because you don't want to know. You just want to believe that long term it's going to be okay.
Oh, right. There's always jobs. There's always jobs to fill, and this has been a good year for us. So,
what I've been hearing an awful lot of debate, and I don't know why lately, about how we've abandoned the sciences in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's true? Do we not have enough scientists? Or is Asia?
You can't talk today. What's up, Ben?
I don't know. I just can't talk.
Asia.
Yeah. And the Eastern Bloc countries are pulling out scientists right and left.
Right.
We're seeing a lot of Europeans. And now Northern Africans are starting to... I mean, are we... What is she looking at me funny? Okay, I can't see what you're doing.
What?
Why is he looking at you and laughing at me?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not sure where else all these scientists are going to come from. You're pretty much covering the whole globe.
So it was a dumb question.
No,
that's
it's a great, it's a great
at.
Question.
Dumb question.
You can say
no,
it
it's
is.
A great question. I don't think we've abandoned it. I mean, definitely San Diego is one of the hearts of the biotech community. So, I mean, whether or not how students are performing, I don't know, but our city is performing very well. The community is performing very well. So it certainly doesn't seem like we've abandoned it.
By the way, I left off Australia and Southern Africa. I didn't say the whole world.
Yeah.
I'm going to be stuck on that the rest of the show now, you know.
All right, that's okay.
Jeez. Okay. So you don't think we've abandoned the sciences? You think we're bringing enough sciences to our kids and we're getting enough graduates to fulfill the need?
I don't know, again, the educational system, I'm not sure, but corporately, I don't think that we've abandoned it. American corporations, I think, are very committed to it. They're doing well in it. There's, you know, progress to be made. There's money to be made. So it seems very strong.
And in the high-tech area outside of the biosciences, what other kinds of high-tech areas are you involved in placing people?
IT professionals across the board.
Information technology, meaning computer people.
Computer people.
Geeks and geekettes.
Computer geeks and geekettes, yeah. Some of the sharpest people out there, definitely.
Yep. I'm a geek at heart.
I couldn't tell, but... You
can't?
You seem really cool.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm very much a geek at heart, yes. Well, I have a pocket protector.
We place a lot of the people that actually do answer your call here in the U.S.
Okay.
People that do walk you through your computer problems and that sort of thing. So there are still a lot of people left like that here, and those are the people we serve.
At IQ Pipeline, when you place somebody, is it almost always on a temporary basis, or are you looking, or is the company looking at possibly converting that to a full-time? I know we can't say permanent anymore, right? That word went away. Permanent position went away.
There's no such thing, yeah.
Yeah, like because somebody sued over it, right?
The
answer is yes. I know that for a fact.
And then no one has Mark.
Somebody got a permanent job, quote unquote, and it wasn't permanent, and they sued, and now nobody uses the word permanent anymore.
It's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
We do place temporaries. We also, the vast majority of our employees are temp to hire. So the
temp to hire.
Yes.
That means you work there for a while. If you like the place and they like you, then you could work out an arrangement where you would stay on.
Good
for
job,
longer.
Bob.
You said it perfectly.
Without
that's exactly
the word
it.
Permanent, too.
That's right, yes.
Do you have people that work for you that just want to do the temporary assignments? Because it provides them with the lifestyle they want, where they're not constantly working. Maybe they do 2 months at a job and then take a month off and then do another 3 months at another job, that kind of thing.
We There definitely is that population. That's not who we serve generally.
Oh, it's not.
There are times when we're placing someone in a temporary position because their situation is temporary. For example, if they have a spouse that's relocating, or if they're going to be relocating for some reason in a specific amount of time, then they may only want to work here for 3 months, and it ends up being the perfect situation. But we sift through a lot of, you know, resumes and a lot of candidates to find that, you know, one individual that will work.
Is IQ Pipeline a local company?
Yes, our office is in Pacific Beach.
And knowing that there are national firms,
mm-hmm.
and there are regional firms,
right.
and there are local firms, I'm guessing it's a highly competitive marketplace.
It's very competitive, absolutely.
What are the drivers in success for you? What makes you as a staffing company successful against the national, regional, and other local firms?
Mm-hmm. I combination of pricing. I mean, pricing is important to everybody, and every, you know, it doesn't matter what field you're in or if you're just going out to buy a shirt. So certainly we're very, very competitively
Does
priced.
Does being so good looking help?
Not me, no, not absolutely not.
Well, it should,
because
you're very good looking. I would think that would help a lot.
Oh, wow.
Oh, his face is
thank you.
Red.
Yeah. And then also the level of service. I mean, we treat every call as urgently important, just responsiveness and serving our customers. I mean, it's what we have an interest in doing. It's what we enjoy doing. So,
you mentioned a while ago that it's less expensive often for the employer,
right,
to use one of your workers. I said economies of scale. In other words, mm-hmm. you end up paying the employee less in terms of benefits, maybe, because you have the economies of scale. Your health insurance doesn't cost as much because you have X amount of employees, right?
Right.
Is that the only reason it works out to be less expensive, or are there other reasons it works out to be less expensive?
There's a number of reasons. For example, some customers that use this don't need to have a large recruiting staff of their own. Most big companies have, you know, large recruiting staffs and HR staff, so we're able to supplement that in a way. And also, sometimes our employees do not receive a robust benefits package, and if they were working full-time for one of our clients, the percentage overall that they would pay above the individual salary might be quite a bit higher than they would pay to us as a fee.
That's a really good point. Who should call you? In other words, from a person that's looking for a job, what kind of people are you hoping will call IQ Pipeline?
The people that we're hoping to serve are administrators, accountants, IT professionals, and clinical professionals, anyone that works in a laboratory. And we also serve a professional group such as paralegals, human resource professionals, and those are the individuals we place. But it's interesting to keep in mind that we place people in jobs that are already available. We don't work with people to help them find jobs. It works the other way around. So once we have a job opening...
Okay, so you get the job order first.
Right.
And then you find the person to fulfill that.
That's
right.
You
don't have somebody come to you with a resume and then you begin to search for a job for them. That's not how it functions for you.
You've got... Exactly.
IQ Pipeline. How can people get a hold of you?
www.iqpipeline.com or 858-483-3600.
Chris Oberle, thank you so much.
Thanks, it's been great.
Keep up the good work and keep people employed. That's what we need right now. Well, for our guest, Mark Blaine, Law Offices of Mark Blaine, Kim Bond at Mental Health Systems, and Chris Oberle at IQ Pipeline.
Thank you for listening to BizTalk. I'm April Loggins.
And I'm Bob Ryan. Have a great and prosperous day. Bye-bye.